This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome John Bolton to speak of American leadership here in 2022. But I begin with an image that came to me while I was reading John's essay at the Washington Examiner. It was American leadership in February of 1945 at the Yalta Conference. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who had weeks to live, was the leader at the table. Stalin sat across from him. Churchill sat next to him. Marshall was coming in and out of the room. Everyone understood that America was in the lead. It was the arsenal of democracy that had made the Soviet advances possible. It was the 600 or more Navy fleet that dominated the conversation in the Pacific. The war wasn't over there yet, but it was going to be in several months' time. American leadership. And today, John, the puzzle you present in your piece is the isolationism that's much in the wind, a current conversation about none of our business, out of Afghanistan, out of Ukraine. That is not constant through American history. You begin in the 18th century. We've always been an outward regarding and growing empire. Are we still, John? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I think we are. I think the American people actually have a lot more common sense than their political leaders. And if talk to like adults with the circumstances explained and justified, they come to the conclusion that to continue enjoying the kind of life we have here, given its global ramifications, what the style of life we have, the freedom we have, depends on being secure from foreign threats of many different kinds in many different places in the world. So they would respect a political leader who told them that. Right now, we don't have that, but we're going to have, I think, a wide open contest for the presidential nominations of both parties in 2024, and we'll see if anyone rises to the occasion.
What do we look for in a leader, John, when we know we're faced with foreign threats? And we are. Ukraine is not the major threat. It's China.
Well, China is certainly the biggest threat of the century, but our threats are worldwide. And even to deal with China, we shouldn't divert our attention from elsewhere. We need more resources in foreign affairs and defense, not less. But I think the first qualification for a leader for America looking ahead is somebody who understands that you cannot maintain the way of life we have now without a strong international presence. And the other side of that coin is you can't have a strong international presence without a strong economy and a strong way of life here at home. So this idea that somehow we can turn away from the rest of the world and not suffer any consequences, that life would just go on as it was, is clearly wrong. Where we're not out there defending American interests, nobody else is going to do it for us. And we're not doing this with our allies out of charity for them. We're doing it because it's in our interest primarily and also in theirs.
The headline in the Wall Street Journal in these hours with the NATO leaders meeting in Madrid, U.S. to ramp up military presence in Europe to counter Russia. Subhead, new troops and weapons are part of NATO's response to the war in Ukraine. Is that a good first step, John?
Well, I think it is. Now, you know, right at this point with the summit ongoing, we're in the world of political rhetoric, and political rhetoric's been pretty good today. Next, we move to the world of performance. And here in the recent past, in fact, NATO has not lived up to the rhetoric that you hear at NATO summits, not in Germany, not in France, not in several other countries. So we'll see how countries follow through on this. I hope they take it seriously. Certainly we know the Eastern European countries who are right on the border of Ukraine, literally in some cases, but others on the border of Russia know the nature of the threat they face. They are very serious about it. Hopefully the rest of Western Europe will pay attention.
Let's start with Poland. We're told there will be a permanent American command in Poland. There'll also be thousands, the numbers move around, thousands of U.S. troops based in Poland. Is that what Poland needs from us? Do they look to us, just Poland, does it look to us for leadership?
Absolutely. I mean, the Polish nation has been carved up by Russia, the Soviet Union, Germany, others for hundreds of years. And that's on the Great Plain of Northern Europe. There are very few good geographical boundaries. So they need a strong ally, and we need a strong ally there to deter further Russian aggression. I think Poland has done an outstanding job in terms of its own defenses. I think the commitments we're making toward Poland, actually, we started talking about them in the Trump administration. There was even talk of a Fort Trump in Poland until the president decided he didn't really want that, but he was ready for it for a while. But it shows you're when your front line is in Poland rather than West Germany, where the American forces ought to be to deter that Russian attack is where they would first feel the Russian might.
The China threat to Taiwan, that is a piece of the larger story of China's expansionism. If I understand correctly, the new strategic concept document from NATO mentions China perhaps for the first time. They call it the PRC. And they use the word malicious when describing activities of the PRC. That's good language, John. Now, again, do we need a follow-up, and does that mean grow the fleet?
I think from the U.S. point of view, that's absolutely what it means. The Europeans, some of them, France and Germany, had to be talked into even the reference that that you cited, that we wanted stronger language. We couldn't get it. So this battle is now engaged. But others in Europe, the UK in particular, fully understands what's going on. That's where we came up with this AUKUS coalition, Australia, the United Kingdom, the United States, in the Biden administration, to give them credit, to build nuclear-powered submarines to sell to Australia. This is a major step forward. I think it forms a paradigm we could use with Japan and other countries. As we build up our defenses, the Australians have obviously committed to build up theirs, and our friends in Europe, I think, could take heart from that example and copy it.
Japan and South Korea are attending NATO as observers. Do we need a NATO in Asia, John? Recreate the success of NATO.
Well, it's been true for a long time. We've got a dense alliance relationship in the North Atlantic. We have a hub and spoke series of alliances in the Pacific. One alternative was suggested by former Spanish Prime Minister Jose Maria Aznar about 15 years ago, which is to take NATO global, bring in Australia, Japan, South Korea, Singapore, Israel, perhaps other countries. That might be something to consider. I don't think the Asian countries are prepared to do that yet. Probably the European countries aren't either. But that's what we need to look at. I mean, we've got the beginnings of something new in the what's called the Quad, United States, Australia, Japan, and India. Certainly not a military alliance yet, but something really that has a lot of prospects. So time to be creative in Asia. The Chinese threat is real. It's not standing still, and we can't stand still either.
I'm surprised to read again and again, John, that Paris and Berlin and London are looking to the U.S. for leadership. All right, fine, that's a fact. But I also read that there's hesitation in Berlin and Paris. Not in London, but in Berlin and Paris. What kind of leader do we need to convince Germany and Paris that there's no dealing with Moscow?
Well, you know, one wonders why they haven't figured that out already. But I think we've got to get past some of the rhetoric we've heard in the past 4 months since the Russian invasion. NATO has performed acceptably. I think that's a fair statement, but it has not distinguished itself, and it won't until Germany and France really take up the slack. The French under Macron seem to want to be the alternative leaders of Europe. Nobody else in Europe wants them to be the alternative leader. Germany is a separate problem, still hasn't grown up out of World War II, as I think by contrast Japan has. They've become mature democracies, perhaps requires another change in leadership in Germany. You know, Chancellor Merkel was in power for 16 years and didn't do much to meet Germany's military commitments. Scholz has changed that, but whether it's a permanent change remains to be seen.
John Bolton, National Security Advisor, Trump Administration, Ambassador to the United Nations Bush Administration, writing in the Washington Examiner. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.